If God has been good to you, say another amen.
Amen.
All right. Once again, I announce to you that you are going to be blessed today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are going to receive direction today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are going to receive understanding in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are going to receive insight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, therefore, that reason, if you believe it, declare with me, say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. Say it like you believe it. Say, as the word of God is coming forth, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of
understanding. And I understand the mysteries of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I say He is good. If you believe, you say and aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, please, let's quickly get into our message for today. I am teaching on the seven names of God. Today, I may not tell you why I say seven names. I'll just start teaching. Along the line, you will discover why there are seven of them. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I mean, explain as we are going. But let's take our main text of the scriptures, all right? The one we are going to use. Matthew chapter 23 is where we are going to start from. Let me just start from verse 1, even though I will rush to get to where I'm going, which is around verse 6. And after that, he said from verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. What the consequence that they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they can't even carry. He said they do, verse 5, their deeds to be noticed by men. Verse 6 says, they love the place of honor at banquets, and the chief seats in the synagogues. And verse 7 says, they also love respectful teaching and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. Now notice that he said they love to be called rabbi, which is the Hebrew word for teacher. That was how it was in their culture. He said, but do not be called rabbi. That's why I read it in context so as to get it, get into what Jesus was saying. He said, but do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. He said, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, before we read another one, I'm stopping this one here. We'll read another one, but let me just quickly explain something about this briefly. I'll get back to it in a moment. Just to bring out the fact that Jesus was saying some things here. The main thing he was talking about, we are not discussing today. That is the issue of how you should behave. I just want to bring out a principle from here. So the Lord Jesus was speaking here. What he was talking about actually was about how people should behave. But I want to bring out something here about when he said, do not call anybody on the earth father, for one is your father. I explained this, I think it was last week or the week before, that sometimes when we want to understand the words of Jesus, again, for those who are teachers of the word, let me explain it again. You have to be careful that you don't get into hyper-literality. I invented that expression. It may be somewhere else, but I've never heard it before. People say, Jesus said what he meant. He meant what he said. He just said it literally. I said, no. Jesus used to speak in parables, and he used to use hyperboles to make a point. He used to use it. He would say, you strain out a gnat, and you swallow a camel. In no human being ever swallowed a camel. Are you getting my point? But he was trying to explain a particular principle there. Okay? So when we want to understand the words of Jesus, we have to look carefully and understand what he was saying. So when people said that Jesus said that a rich man can never enter the kingdom, and he means it like that, simply because he said it is harder for a... I said, listen, don't take this thing beyond what the Lord was saying. That again was a, shall I use the word? It was like a parable, not a parable really, but it was just you trying to emphasize a point on how difficult something is. The same way when they said the Pharisees will straighten out a small insect, a gnat is a small, tiny insect, all right? A tiny pest, and then they will swallow a whole camel. It was trying to say that you take things that are not important. It was just trying to explain the principle, just two extremes of human behavior. So in the same manner, he now said, it is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So you have to read the whole thing and for him, and you see how he expects rich people, you understand, to behave. Because in the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, they were not poor people. Like I said before, the perfume that they poured on him, they had it at home. It was not a one-year saving for them. They had it at home. What was significant was that they broke it once. They smashed the thing and once finished it. And Judas said, my God. Jesus now, talking about how Jesus was speaking here, when he said, don't call somebody father, all right? You will find out that if it was to be taken literally like that, then the whole of the New Testament, you find people disobeying him every time. Do you understand my point? Paul even quoted, honor your father and your mother. Is it that he didn't know these words of Jesus Christ? He knew the words of Jesus. But without sitting on that interpretation of parables, let me quickly explain what it meant here. There is a spirit behind calling somebody father. There is a spirit behind it. Father refers to a source of life. Without this man, we cannot ever be anything. Once I heard a young lady introduce somebody once, all right? And I said, my God, this is totally wrong. Now, this is a big man. A man, if I mention his name, you will know. I was in a place where he visited. And then one of his aides came up to introduce him. And by the time she was through with introducing him, I said, this is idolatry. That this girl is worshiping this man. And you have to be careful. Even we do it a lot in Christianity. The way we talk about some of our big people, hey, it borders on being ungodly. He said, don't even call anybody your leader. If we're taking it literally, that don't use that word. You go through the whole of the New Testament, elders, you know, what they call bishops. These are words that Jesus said we mustn't use. But you must understand the context in which he was speaking. I was trying to emphasize the fact that we are all equal, but when we come into the body of Christ, each person occupies a position, and we must never think, especially you, do you understand, that's being called a name, you must never think of yourself as superior, you understand, as higher in rank than other people. Just understand that you are fulfilling a function, and do that with humility. And that's why he said, whosoever we actually, spiritually speaking now, be the greatest amongst you, must be the most serving one, must be the servant of all. Now, please, I'm trying to explain the meaning of the word father, the meaning of the word father again, all right? So when he said, don't call anybody father, well, remember our message today is what? We are beginning a series titled what? Seven names of God. The seven names of God, all right? Let me just tell you ahead of time. We're not going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I chose that 7 for a reason, all right? Now, so the name father refers this to the source of life, the person who gave us life. So I was explaining that I've heard people introduce other people. This particular one I was telling you about, I was sitting down there and listening. By the time this young lady was through, I looked at the man, I felt like, oh God, come. If they talk about you like that again, reject it publicly. No, there are things you should reject publicly. Don't do it in secret. Don't reject it inside your heart. When they give you the microphone, say, thank God for that young woman's life. We thank God for her life. But I'm not her God, amen? God has just used me to bless her. Just say it like that. And if I didn't come up, somebody else would have had to come up, you know? No, humiliate, you know? Are you getting my point? That's what it means to humble yourself. Talk down on yourself. Say, no, be mule. There was a time they wanted to sacrifice to Paul and, was it Barnabas or Silas? Barnabas. You know, they rushed there and said, don't try it. We are just men like yourselves. We are not God to be sacrificed to. Reject some things. When they come and start, you know, praising you because they want to make you feel good. There are things that are appropriate. If I get to a place and you say, you introduce me and say, this is Pastor Banky and He has really blessed me. The words he preached, I've learned a lot from them. And you talk and talk and talk, and he will bless you today. That is correct. I mean, that is my job. That's why I came. But if you say, we're groping in darkness until God sent this man as light. There has never been any light like him. Then you finish. I will rush up. Give me that microphone. Don't mind him. That's how I'm going to. I will collect the microphone for you. Say, please, excuse me. No light like me. Because the brother has kept his eyes closed for a long time. So he didn't see light shine. That is a matter of fact. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that it's not every description. You have to be careful. In the same manner, when they use the words that describe you as a leader, you know, in that context, you reject them. You reject words. Now, let's sit on the main thing where I read that. And that's the issue of the word father. Why did God say, why did Jesus say there that you are not supposed to call anybody father? What he was saying is simple. That there is one father that you have. And that is the father that you have in heaven. Now, please bear that in mind and let's hold it. It is the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the only Father that we indeed have. That's what he was saying. He is the source of life. He is the source of everything that we'll ever want. Now, the word El Shaddai, you've heard it many times, all right? And I heard it explained once. He said, somebody explained that the meaning of El Shaddai actually is the Almighty Breasted One. That is what he was saying, is that every nutrient, everything that we need as his children will come from him. And that's the meaning of the word father. Please, bear that in mind. I'll get back to it in a moment. I just wanted to explain why we read that particular portion of the scriptures. The next one I want us to read is from the book of Psalms. Psalm 91. Before we read that, let me just quote this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Let's read from Psalm 91. We are talking about the seven names of God. Now, I'm going to start from verse 14. Now, if you read it well, you'll notice that there is a change in the person speaking from verse 14. It's as if we have three people here. Two are speaking. The first one was giving us a narrative of the ways of God or the will of God. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's King James rendering now, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it describes a lot of things about you. So he's speaking to me, he's speaking to you. He says, for example, in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. He said, no evil will befall you in verse 10, nor will any plague come near you. Now, you read on like that, then when you get to verse 14, God now takes up the direct narrative. And I want you to let us start reading from there, all right? From verse 14 now says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. That was the Lord speaking now. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Now, we have taken that narrative directly from the mouth of the Lord himself in verse 14. And you notice something he brought here. That's in that first verse. He said, because he has loved me, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. By virtue of the knowledge of my name, he will know how to call. Now, notice verse 15. He said, he will call upon me, I will answer him. Please notice this. Because he has known my name, all right, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. That is, the reason why God will answer somebody is because we call him by the appropriate name. I don't know whether you are catching what I'm going to explain here. It's very important. That's why I started this discussion from that portion of Matthew, when it says that, don't call everybody father, all right? Because there's a way you refer to people. And that's one thing about God. Whatever you call human beings, you can't actually call him. Now, forget the name itself, you know, like you can have an earthly father. But you see, what you utter outwardly is based upon something that is inside your heart. Are you getting my point? Now, whatever you call God, call anybody, you can't call God that. You can't. What does that mean? Let's use the title now, Father, as an example again. Anybody that you see as your source of life, as your source of everything, the fellow has actually closed you away from seeing God as the same. Very important you understand this. It is very important. Now, even if it's your natural earthly father, that is why sometimes what we consider as natural advantages are actually serious spiritual disadvantages. Because if anytime you need something, you pick up your phone and call your earthly father. Now, are you getting my point? And therefore, it's in your mind. Anywhere you are, once you need something, that is the first thing that comes to mind. Who does my father know? All right? Who are we connected with? Now, what you are doing is that you are shutting the door through which God will come into your life to rescue you. That is very important. He said, because he has known my name. Let's talk about that name thing. Let me just get to it. Why did I use the title, Seven Names of God? If you read the book of Revelations, you hear of the seven spirits of God. You understand my point? You will hear that there are seven eyes, and then that represented the seven spirits of God. If you've been involved in studying the scripture for a long time, and you've heard of the significance of numbers, let's go through a few of them. One is the number of unity. Two is the number of agreement. Three is the number of trinity. Four is the number of I don't know. Five is the number of grace. Four is not the number of grace now. What is four? Gospel. All right, because there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, now. Four is the number of the Gospels. And I don't know about that, too. Don't hear that for the first time. Is there five? And we all know that one. Is the number of grace, you know? And then six is the number of one short of seven. And then seven is the number of completeness. Eight is the number of new beginnings. 12 is the number of apostleship. And then 25 is the number of grace intensified. Because it's 5 times 5, you understand? It's grace intensified. You know, all kinds of names. Now, the one of seven, those are among the earliest I learned, said the number of completeness. So when I see the expression, the seven spirits of God, it was talking about the anointing, the power of God without measure. Are you getting my point? When I said that he had the seven spirits of God, that is, there's no part of the power of God that was not manifested in his life. Are you getting my point? And that's why I decided to use that expression, the seven names of God. I'm trying to bring out an issue here. I'm talking about the infinite names of God, because God's name actually cannot be counted. In reality, it cannot be counted. You cannot count and say, these are the number of names that God bears. One of the earliest messages I listened to those days in school when we were studying the word was one titled 12 Names of God, all right, by one man of God, all right? And then he went through different names. I can't remember, but all of them were Hebrew. Names like El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rupheka or Rapha, Jehovah Israel's own. Israel has one personal one. Yes, Megedishki. There's Jehovah Shekinu. We learned all those ones, and they came to 12, and each one describing, I memorized them then. I thank God they are not necessary, all right? I mean, calling them 12 is not important. Now, get my point. All those ones, let me just say something to you. God's name in your life is not Hebrew. Do you get my point? His name in your life, you are still speaking it in Hebrew. You never jam. Listen to me. You are still speaking Hebrew. Don't worry. A language that you don't speak normally. You enter into prayer. You are conjuring up straight. Unless you are speaking in other tongues, drop all these funny languages. You know, there are things you learn from other people. You were in church one day. One big man was supposed to pray. And he raised his beautiful prayer. You know, it impressed you. There are those who will pray publicly. You will record the prayer. And the morning, he said, God, I would love to pray, but it no go work like this one. So God, please sit down there. I go sit down. May I play this tape? Two of us will hear it. And the fellow begins to talk about God. And you're hearing sweet things. That goes into Hebrew. Speak Greek. El Elyon. The El of... You're hearing the Adonai. Listen. It's good, amen? for the man who speaks Hebrew. As for you that speaks English, it's a bad habit. I know you're not too shocked when I say things, all right? So you are used to me by now. It's nice in itself. If you are here, want to talk, yes, I can use Adonai for everybody. We all know it. When I reach my house, God, this Adonai thing, let's leave it for those who speak Hebrew. What is the meaning of Adonai in the language I speak normally? That is the one my spirit responds to. Are you getting my point? Hey, please, get my point. That is what my spirit responds to. The man who used Adonai, he had his reason. That was his language. The man who said Megedishki, he was speaking Hebrew. I have never called my wife and said, sweetheart, Megedishki, I have never, listen. For that reason, I'm not calling God Megedish nothing. I will look for what that Shekenu means in the language that I speak. Because until, you see, I'm a teacher, all right? Apart from scriptures, I'm a teacher, you know, in the secular world, all right? I teach medical students. For that reason, I also have to examine. And because of my profession, many times I've had to settle down and talk to, I've been to court many times. I've been to judicial panels, you know, to testify because of my profession and all of that. I remember once I testified before a panel in Enugu here. And I remember the head of the panel. This was why how he sat down that day and was looking. He did like this. I noticed that he was focused on everything I was saying. When he finished, he said, I never knew that these medical words could be understood until today. He was used to people writing, you know, high sounding words. They come to court and try to bamboozle both the judge and the lawyers. And the more confused the judge is, the better for the person he's on his side. Are you getting my point? So, but that day, I didn't even know it was a big deal. I was just doing my work. And I'll use a medical word, and then I'll break it down. And I used to break it down so much that there were about 7 people on the panel. All of them said, wow. Because they had my report with them. So as I was talking, they were going through it. They had seen big words. Then when I begin to talk about it, I made it so simple that they realized anybody who spoke English could understand. I said, listen, this is what I'm teaching my students. That anything you cannot explain to people like that, you don't know it yourself. You think you do, you don't. Listen, the richest man in the world, always off and on between number one and number three, Warren Buffett. He said, I don't invest in any company that cannot explain what they do to my mother. Yes, that's his rule. So all the time that internet stock was going through the roof, Netscape through the roof, you understand? Little.com company going through the roof. Warren Buffett didn't buy one single one. He said, because I can't explain what they do to my mother. What he means is that I must understand it so well so that I will know what you are doing. Not you come and speak one razzmatazz, you know, just bamboozle me. I give you $10 million. Tomorrow the money disappears. The man sat down like that and said, no, I'm not investing. Thank you. And of course, he was safe because he could not relate with the market. It doesn't mean he's totally right in not investing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the principle that the man said, I don't understand what they are doing. In the same manner in life, when you are speaking, you're in prayer, you are speaking words you don't know the meaning of. Better make sure that one is totally, you are speaking in other tongues so everybody knows. God knows that you don't know. Are you getting my point? He knows that the Holy Spirit is just helping you. But when you are speaking in language that you are supposed to understand, bros, use words that have meaning. If you are a preacher also, don't use expressions that you cannot decode fully for people to understand. Don't use it. You create more confusion than help that you're in talking to people. That is a matter of fact. So please, I'm going to bring an issue here. So you see, when I told I'm a teacher. So when I'm examining students sometimes, I tell, look, don't use, in fact, one of my favorite questions is that I'll read a medical, you know, one of pathology terms. Maybe I'll tell a student, you're a medical student, yeah. So you're going to be a doctor in a few years. You have a friend. He's a law student. I always choose law because he's in plenty English. You understand? I say he comes to me and gives this report. Say, this is my father's report. I'll now read something out for the student. I say, explain it to the law student. You know what I want? I want him to explain it without using one medical word, unless the word is common. And they'll sit down there, of course, you know, the typical students, they'll be memorizing everything I taught them in class. I say, I'm going to give you zero. What is this one you are doing? I will give you zero. You memorize everything, what the textbook says, I'm still going to give you the zero. I meant it. And I always mean it. I say, until you can tell me this thing in such a way that your roommate in the hostel, who is a law student, can understand it. And that's the only proof for me that you know what you're talking about. Any other thing you've just memorized. That is, a market woman should walk up to you and say, doctor, you have said this and this, what does it mean? You see, some of those words are too big for the person. Yes, give him the simple one. I mean, this is the woman that is sick. You cannot communicate with the patient. Then you're useless, doctor. Now, please, let's get back to here. So when we're talking about names, that's where I'm going. When God said that, I will set him high, securely on high, because he has known my name. He's not saying you read the Bible until you can cram all the names that God was called in Hebrew. If it has no meaning to you, practically, you don't know that name yet. Did you hear what I said? No, you don't know the name yet. That is why the best, look, Jehovah Rapha is good. That's become common for us now, so hopefully we all know what it means. But I like the way Derek Prince said it. He said, Jehovah, your doctor. You know, we all know the meaning of the word doctor. But you see, we don't call him doctor. So, for that reason, we often don't realize he can be consulted when we are sick. We think he can only be prayed to. I don't know whether you get my point. Israel, let us pray. Thou Jehovah, thou, thou Jehovah Rapha. And when you use those religious terminologies, you actually have shot out a lot of his, let me use this expression, his possible interactions with you. Because, for example, let's talk about healing as an example now. Maybe in your mind, the only way God heals is by miracle, you know, like miraculous. I was sick, almost dead, then, bam, he turned, bam, a spirit will raise me up and set me on my feet. So when you start using names like Jehovah, Rofika, that, you know, Megidishkili comes into intervention, in your mind, you are waiting for a spirit to possess you, are you getting my point? And then set you up on your feet. And God may not be planning to do that. But if you had understood that he's Jehovah, the doctor, maybe you'll have prayed, claimed the word of God, and say, what is this prescription for this particular situation? I don't know whether you get my point. Yeah. And he'll say, this particular situation does not require you to do any other thing than get up and go to work. You're getting my point? Say, don't worry, you're fine. Or this particular situation requires you to wake up every morning and speak to your system. Say, in the name of Jesus, heart, receive the word of God. You have been healed by his stripe. And you are speaking that word. So that's my particular prescription for that. I was into Ken Hagin again last week, and he said that during this week, I've heard the message many times before, him narrating that particular occurrence. At the particular point in life, he was sick. His wife had never heard him in 30-something years say he's sick. Just told his wife, I have to lie down. I think I'm sick. Said his wife had never heard it. At that particular point, when he began to pray, the Holy Spirit just said that the only way you will get well this time, because that one came to him because he was neglecting the ministry that God committed into his hands. Said the only way you will get well this time is to lay your hands. I told you the healing power is in your hands. Lay those hands on yourself and you will find out that you are going to get well. He said he put both hands on his own head and he felt a warm glow leave the hands, enter into his body. And began to heal his body. Now, bring an issue here. Different ways. Jesus was literally a doctor. He healed people different ways. Some, he gave them spiritual ampicillin. Some spiritual panadol. Are you getting my point? Some say, you, be well. You, put clay in the eyes. Walk this distance. Now, bring an issue here. When we use the word a spiritual sounding word. Oftentimes we miss what he wants to do in our lives and we don't realize that actually he can be consulted every time. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. When we're talking about knowing the name of God, it's not a big word that I'm saying you must memorize. The name of God, you know, one of the best ways somebody explained this one to me before was Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe said that Moses was told, when he asked God, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. He said, why did God say to him, I am? He said, simply because, you see, God was too big to be described in one simple sentence or one simple word. You know, you hear Jehovah's Witnesses going around saying that the name of God is Jehovah. I've seen them, they've come to my house when I was young. And when they finished talking, they said, the name of God is Jehovah. I said, okay, I agree. You agree now? Yes. Okay, thank you very much. And they are going. Oh, the Lord is good. If you come to me now and you say the name of God is Jehovah, I won't argue with you. Listen to me. It means that is the only name you know him by. I don't know whether you get my point. That means that is the only name you know him by. You are too small as a human being to ascribe to the Almighty God just one name. It's not possible. He's bigger than that. That was the name he revealed himself by to the people of Israel. And this is something about God. His name is so large, his person is so large, that each point in your life, you discover a part of him, and that becomes the name that you know at that particular point in time. And it is what you know of God that you call him by. And that is what we mean when we talk about knowing the name of God. So when God said, I will set him up on high because he has known my name. What was he trying to say? He said, he will call me in the time of trouble and I will deliver him. That is, you have to call God, listen to this, by the name he bears in that kind of trouble. Let me give an example. I'm inside the house as an example, and it's burning. No way out. You don't shout, the God that he led thee. I'm not sick, oh boy. I don't know how you get my point. I am not sick. What I need now is a God that can walk through the fire and take me out from the midst of the fire and set me securely outside where fire is not burning. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Listen, that is what it means to call God. He said, I will rescue him because he has known my name. Are you getting my point? And listen, there's something I heard once. Somebody was preaching. He said, God said, I am God and there is none else. He said, why should God say, I am God and there is none else? And listen, this is very, very important. I think that's the main thing we're going to say today. They will continue developing this next time. Why should God say, I am God and there is none else? Why should I walk up to you and say, I am Banky? In fact, last week I met two different people. Bishop, remember that woman that you helped move her car out? What you met me telling the woman, I told her that you were coming, that I couldn't help her, that I was in a hurry. Do you understand? That I'm supposed to teach a Bible class that started 5 minutes before that time. So I was rushing upstairs to go and preach so that I was waiting for you to get here, that you would take over helping her. That's what you meant, okay? She said, where? I said, I just went upstairs. I said, Kingdom World Ministries. He said, are you Pastor Banky? I said, yes. You get my point. I said, yes. Oh, very pleased to meet you. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. She knows the name Pastor Banky. She knows this man here trying to help me out with my troubles, but she did not connect the two. Then suddenly, when she heard a few things, I said, are you Pastor Banky? If I said no, then she would go ahead to look for another one. Are you getting my point? It didn't happen when I was in the office during the week. I was going for a meeting. Somebody called me and said, you look like somebody. Please, can I ask you a question for a moment? Also a lady. I said, what's the problem? He said, please, there's one man I listen to. He's a preacher. You look somewhat like him. I mean, this is an academic environment, so maybe I should be in a church environment, you know, that kind of thing. So, I'm in an academic environment. We're going for a meeting in the college. And I said, please, are you Pastor Banky? I just made a joke. I said, he's my twin brother. You know, I just made a joke about it. The hour she shook my hand, thanked me very well for how the word has been blessing her so much. Now, I'm going somewhere now. Why did I tell these things? Because it is possible that I'm not Pastor Banky. If she was so sure that I was Pastor, she wouldn't ask. She just say, Pastor Banky, finally I don't catch you. She didn't say that. She had to ask. You look like him. I was passing, she didn't know how I sounded. Maybe when I answer, you sound like him, they are now to confirm that indeed I am the one. It could have been somebody else. Are you getting my point? Yes, it could have been somebody else. And that's what happens with God also. Many times, people confuse God, like, who is really God? Let me say something to you. You will never see a person. That's why God said, listen, don't make an image and say, this is what God looks like. Because you will never see him. I have seen people that say that because man was made in the image of God, so God looks like, a man looks exactly like God. Maybe, I don't know. But you see, the point is this. If God comes down to this particular realm, this is the form he will take. We believe that. And that's what happened with Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? But then, this is the form in this realm. If he went into that other realm, go and read Revelations, all kinds of things. There was a time John looked and saw Jesus Christ looking like a lamb. Sometimes he will look, he will have eyes round about. He will look, he has seven eyes, the spirits of God. Are you getting my point? You know why he's looking like that? Let's not discuss that now. The truth is that the form, okay, that he takes in the physical realm, this is difficult to, that's why John was confused. You know, some of those things, John was already confused. You understand my point? He was just giving the description to human beings who had never seen anything like that. So it makes it very, very difficult, do you follow, to explain. Now, and please, let me try and explain what I'm going to say here. So you see, God, he said, don't make an image of me. One of the reasons is that by the time you are making that image, I'm in another form. I am in another form. And God, the all kinds of forms. Listen, go and just read that Revelations. John saw all kinds of things. The Jesus he knew, when he saw him. Now listen to this. When those people saw Jesus, he didn't look the same again after he rose up from the dead. That was why he needed introduction. If he suddenly looked like himself, why did he have to show the hands? Are you getting my point? He looked different ways. Please, I'm going somewhere. Now, this is what God is. It is difficult for us, all right, to put him in a particular box. So it comes up in different aspects, in different ways. And sometimes when he shows up, he has to tell you, I am God. Are you getting my point? And many things look like the God of yesterday. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Oh, let me explain what I'm saying. For example, you needed a job. Now, this is good. I just finally connected it. I've connected. You won't be confused after now. Even me, I was getting confused as I was talking. Now, the thing don't connect. You needed a job last year. And then you went home and you met your uncle. That's very, very powerful. He's very connected. He's a politician. So you say, my girl, how are you doing? Uncle, I'm fine. What are you doing now? I don't have work. You don't have work? What did you study? I studied accounting. What did you study? I studied engineering. Okay, fine. Give me your CV. Email it to me by tonight. You emailed it to him. 3 days later, he got a call from somebody in Abuja. Are you getting my point? Who connected it with somebody? You went to that office. They said, you are the one we were talking about. Where's the physical copy of your CV? You collect it. Come back tomorrow to see the MD for an interview. At the end of tomorrow, you had a job. You met your uncle. Are you getting my point? And then, a week, 2 later, you had a job. That was an appearance of God. Next time you need something else, the human body does something. It says, let me call my uncle. So God says, I am God and not that uncle. I just happened to have used him last time. I am now in another form. I am God and there is none else. Not your uncle. Do you get the point? That is why I said, don't make an image. Images are made out of experience. You are getting what I'm going to say?
Yes,
images are made out of experience. We have seen it before. He appeared like this. Listen, the Jesus that John, Peter, James, Andrew, Philip, they knew, when he rose up from the dead, he did not look like that. That was why he could walk with them for a distance, moving from one town to the other. And they said, what are you guys talking about? Say, are you the only one that does not know what's been going on recently? And then he began to explain things to them. And he began to explain to them, and their eyes were opening. Then he sat down when they wanted to eat. He brought out his hands, then they saw the hands. Some said that the breaking of bread opened their eyes. Well, when you are breaking bread, you bring hands to break bread. When you are walking, you can be walking. Nobody knows what your hand looks like. By the time Jesus came out with his hands, they looked. What happened to your hand? Suddenly, they connected it. No wonder when he was speaking, our souls were burning inside us. He did not look like the Jesus they knew before. That's why Paul said, henceforth, he said, even if we knew Jesus after the flesh, henceforth we know him thus no longer. That's why God said, don't make an image. Because when you make an image, you make a replica of what I did in the past. And you start worshiping it. Meanwhile, I am not coming through that method this time. I told you, listen, God never gives commandments for his own good. If he says, I'm a jealous God, it doesn't mean I'm full of myself. It means I'm jealous over you. Let me put it like that. When God said, I, thy Lord God, I'm a jealous God. I mean, one American man the other day went to the house of his sister-in-law, shot the sister-in-law, shot her husband, and shot all the children. That's human jealous. No, it happens. You know, some of these diseases, we have to rebuke them. It happened. That one, I thought it was only in America. One policeman in Oshun State did it last year. Killed his wife, killed her father, killed her mother. That's human jealousy. Ah, no, people do it all the time. There was one Christmas day, he killed his wife, killed the father, killed the mother, killed the sister. Everybody gathered together and went home, killed himself, and set everything on fire. That's before he died. That's human jealousy. You hurt my pride. How can? If I can't have you, nobody will. That's human. God's jealousy is not like that. God's jealousy is like this. Nobody is better for you than me. Are you getting my point? I'm jealous over you. I want to take care of you. What is wrong with you? Where are you running to? You are running after gods that have eyes that can't see. They have ears that they can't hear. They have legs, they can't walk. He said, those that follow them become like them. So he's jealous over you. That's how God is. So when God says, don't make a graven image, it's not as if you don't know me. If you make an image of me, I go vex. It's not. That's how human beings behave. God's zone is that when you have made that image, I can't help you anymore. Because I use that form once. Next time I come around, you won't recognize me. Was that not what happened to the Jews? All the messiahs they knew were warriors. Yes? When Gideon came, he came fighting. When Jephthah came, he came fighting. All those who delivered them, they will come fighting. They were always coming fighting. So when they were expecting the ultimate messiah, that one now came. Instead of coming as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he came as a lamb led to the slaughter. For what? Why? They had made an image of the kind of messiah they understood. But the real one that was coming to take away their sins so as to set them free totally and finally, they rejected him. That's the problem with images. That is why God said to them, what is thy name? He said, I am. The God you meet today is not the one you meet tomorrow. That's why you read through the New Testament. There are names you don't see. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Nobody in the New Testament used that name. Go and check it. That God, let me put it like this, had expired. The moment Jesus came, he expired. How can you be calling him the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, when those men did not perfect their faith, and the one who perfected faith had come? So the only time they would describe God, when Paul would describe him, he said, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, it is important we understand this principle. It is not just to use a particular, it's good. Jehovah Shekinah is good, if you speak Hebrew. When I ask somebody, he says, what does it mean of Shekinah? He says righteousness. So I say, God, your righteousness, what does it mean? Many times, you know, we don't know the meaning. God, our righteousness, what does it mean? One of the greatest confessions I had as a young Christian was when they say, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I used to wonder, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was why I wrote a book titled The Righteousness of God, when I finally understood. I said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? And people write books, so it means through God we are righteous. No, I said, no, we are the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Ask most Christians, they don't know. They can recite it. When you say, Jehovah Shekinah, God, your... You say righteousness is Shekinah, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What does that mean? Look, those words are better than saying nothing. But I'm saying there are words that are deeper than that. Let me give you an example. Assume you are in your house. You know Nigeria is a place where if I wanted to sleep in jail today, it's not difficult. I just go to the police and say, you are threatening my life. And they will gladly come and arrest you. Before I used to think it was only in Nigeria, my experience now is that not only in Nigeria, in America I can do it to you too. They are the same everywhere. Now, I'm going to ask something. I have a brilliant example. Because it really happened. It's happening right now. There's a young man, he's in jail currently. There was one young woman that was killed some time ago, at least over a year now, or at least a year. The young men that killed him and her, they've been caught. But there's a young pharmacist who the only sin he committed was that he broke a code, which 99% of pharmacists in Nigeria who are practicing privately break every day. He sold a prescription drug without a prescription. So that you know, in case you do not know, there's what they call over-the-counter drugs. All other drugs are prescription drugs. For example, you want Panadol or Paracetamol, it's over-the-counter. Most of these are analgesic painkillers, over-the-counter. Anti-malaria drugs, over-the-counter. But as simple as this drug they call Valium, you know Valium? No person is allowed to dispense it without a doctor prescribing it. Ampicillin, you know ampicillin? It is against the law everywhere in the world for somebody to sell it to you without you showing him a doctor's prescription first. That is the law. Now, so just to educate people. Now, this young man, back to him. But we don't know about the case, so just to explain the particular principle here. So, this young man was arrested. The crime he really committed, from all the evidence we've read about in the papers, is that he sold the drug without prescription. And that's a very potent, let me use a simple word, sleeping drug. So that was what they crushed and injected into the drink they gave the young woman. She drank it and fell asleep. And that's why they were able to do what they did and they killed the young woman. All right? Okay, when they were investigating the case, the guy was arrested. He's currently on trial for conspiracy to commit murder. The Pharmaceutical Association of Nigeria, they did everything. They made a lot of noise, went everywhere. Nobody released the boy. They tried to explain that, look, this guy's crime is a professional misconduct. You understand? It's not a crime. He didn't commit a criminal offense. It's a professional misconduct. So he should be released to the association to discipline him. That's by the body. It's a professional body. That they can discipline him their own way. Boom! The boy is in prison. The trial will last at least 2 years, you know. Most likely he'll be found non-guilty. Not guilty. Most likely. But after cooling his heel in jail for over 2 years. Do you understand that? The professional body has spoken. They have tried. Nobody listened. Everybody has spoken. Newspaper, everybody's gotten tired. In fact, most people have forgotten the case. And the case is going on. And in case you do not know, you don't know what's going on inside the court, the judge can wake up one day and decide that the boy is guilty. He will have to now go to appeal another few years. By the time the guy is finally released, it is possible he will have been in prison for 5, 6, 7 years. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want to explain the meaning of the word chicane for you. If that young man kneels down in prison and says, God, you know I didn't kill anybody. You see my heart. Most of the people that buy those drugs for me, they take it themselves so they can sleep. After all, Michael Jackson was trying to sleep too. That was when he died. So, in the integrity of my heart, I sold that drug. I confessed to professional misbehavior. But I did not know anybody was going to use this medicine to kill anybody. I am asking you to help me to come out of this jail, which apparently I am in unjustly. You are Jehovah, my righteousness. That's the meaning of that word. That's shikenu. That's the meaning. It doesn't mean I'm always doing right. You are the only one that can prove that the man is innocent. That is a name of God. The God that proves I am innocent. Many people who use the expression shikenu, they don't realize that. They are in trouble. They are phoning everybody. Daddy, have you called the PDP chairman? Are you seeing that? So God crosses his hands and is waiting. No problem, PDP chairman is going to help you. But that's going to take 4 years. Cool your heels in the jail. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You say, hey, I don't understand what is going on. If it was no pain now, they would have gone on strike. I don't know what's wrong with this pharmaceutical association. They're not doing anything. You know what he's saying? Pharmaceutical Association of Nigeria, my righteousness. And every name that he's calling those people is a name God cannot be to him. Do you understand my point? So, what is the young man supposed to do if he understands? He said, call upon me in the time of trouble. Call upon me doesn't just mean shout, God, help, help, help. No. It is to understand the name that I bear in the time of trouble. Yesterday or this morning, something struck me. Well, many things added to it, partly because I've been listening to a set of messages over the last 1-2 weeks. They have all been on faith. And then I've thought about faith, the understandings I've had here and there, and I realized that the number one reason God can't help people is because he does not find faith in their hearts. Simple. Not because he's not willing, not because he's not able, not because he does not desire to give them that thing they are looking for, but simply because he does not find faith in their hearts. God said to some people here this evening, he said, you won't get a job until the day you stop calling people. Do you hear what I said? That the day you will get that job is the day you stop calling people. That there are 2 numbers on your phone you must delete today. You know when I don't want to call somebody again, I delete their number. There was one young man that was owing me money years ago. Occasionally, I get angry because, you know, money is not my problem as in he's owing me money. No. What used to offend me was that it's because of people like you that the love of many wax cold. Are you getting my point? It was like a kind of business transaction. You know, I sold something to him. This was many years ago. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Ah, you trust me. You know, I'm a young man like yourself. Don't worry. You know, let me just take it away. I'll send your money. That's how I took it away. I didn't send my money. So occasionally I'll remember. I will call him. And story. So one day, I told him I'm very gifted with write-off. I told that a few weeks ago. I said, how do I do so that this boy won't annoy me anymore? I scrolled to my phone and deleted his number. That way, I can't call him again. That was like 7 years ago. I've not called him in 7 years. Even if I remember, I can't call him. How
should I call him? I don't have his number. I don't know anybody that knows him that has his number. No. So that day I just said, dear Lord, this boy should not be a headache for my soul. Tap, tap, select, delete, confirm. Yes, delete. You sure? Yes. Are you very sure? Yes. He's owing you money. Doesn't matter. Delete. I delete. There are numbers you need to delete so that God can bless you. I told you, God's jealousy is not human type of jealousy. And you just forget me like this after everything that I did for you. No. God is not angry that you forgot him after everything he did for you. He's upset that you are forgetting him despite the things that he can do for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you see, you are calling other people God. I was saying earlier, why did God introduce himself and say, I am God and there is none else? Because many people behave like they are God. And he said to my people, look in my direction. I am God. I am God. If you don't recognize that, I can't help you. The young man in prison, my name literally is Jehovah that demonstrates that somebody is innocent. Many people don't realize that. They wake up in the morning. Oh Lord, you are Jehovah Chikenu. Jehovah Chikenu. After they finish calling Jehovah Chikenu, they cut. This uncle won't help. Meanwhile, my father knows the judge. I don't know what's his problem. They start dialing the father. Are you getting my point? I say they call him Jehovah, Hebrew name. They can't connect it with the English practice. Are you getting my point? So they call double-minded. They are not connected. Why is he not responding? They are not calling him. God is not satisfied with just the name God. It doesn't satisfy him. It doesn't satisfy him. So if you just call him Father, unless you fully know the meaning of that Father, it's not satisfactory. It's not. What satisfies is for you to know the implication of that name now. Are you getting my point? Many of us, listen, you know, I say this one all the time. A lot of young men, young women here. I'm looking for work. People still say the problem is that jobs are hard to find in Nigeria. If only I had an American visa. Just by the way, it's a very stupid thing to say because there are so many jobless people in that America too. I just get that clear, all right? If only I had an American visa. Sometimes people don't say they are thinking it. Then they go to church and worship. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. The Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge. And they go dance. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Then the phone rings. Oh boy, try arrange another 50K. Mo will give the guy we want to arrange the visa so that you can get, you know. 50K, oh boy, I don't get now. The only money we they here, everything put together like 7,000 and 5K in my offering. Don't drop any offering. No. When you have reached America and you are prosper, you can send the church every offering that you need. Oh, another lie people tell themselves. I can't do something now. When I read that, I will not fat lie. Now, he gathers the money, borrows money from here, borrows money from there, packages it, and sends to a man who's trying to arrange for him to get the visa. Why? He thinks once I get to Europe, I have a job. He doesn't understand the meaning of Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He doesn't. He's not calling God. You know what the Bible says? He that comes to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Listen, why would they come if they did not know he was God? They had to know God was there. So it wasn't saying that they must know that God is. As existing. No. What he was saying is that they must understand that he is the God that provides that job. I say this boldly and I'm not joking about it. If you call upon him, you will never be put to shame. Many people who think they are praying, they are not calling upon him. The prayer is a habit, a statement of desperation. They have not recognized him as the one who does that. When we're talking about the names of God, we are in the scriptures, you should hold a pen and start identifying the names, because it's not those things that you call names. The names of God are sentences.
They are sentences describing his character, describing his power, describing his glory. Those are the names of God. And when you understand it, that is when you call. You can't call until you understand it. You can't. God said, I am God, there is none else. Why? People have ascribed to God many things. One of the statements I've been making recently is this Jehovah, Jehovah Rofeka thing. The Lord, our doctor. After I made that statement here, one day I put Kenneth Hagin, I was listening to him. And he quoted one woman, Lillian B. Yeoman. That's the woman's name, Lillian Yeoman. He was quoting Lillian Yeoman, making his own statement. And they were saying the same thing that we also said here. That they said it years ago. I mean, both Lillian Yeoman was died in the 70s or 80s, I don't know. Ken Hagin died quite a number of years ago, you understand? So they made a statement before, but I had never heard them say it. Say, Lillian B. Yeoman said it, Ken Hagin also said it, that just give me the kind of attention you give the doctor, and I guarantee you, you will be healed every time. Every time, he said. He used the same example I used there. He said, if the doctor says, come back in 3 weeks, you come back. If he says, come back tomorrow, he said, you go back. He said, you keep going back. Why? These are my own words now. Because you have hope in what he can offer. Craig said, just give me that attention. And I guarantee you, you will be healed every time. The only difference is that I won't charge you a dime. Listen, I was saying, I'm convinced that the problem, why we don't hear, why we don't see the power of God, we actually don't call upon him. We shout. We do a lot of shouting. And of course, these modern days, we do a lot of seed sowing. No matter the seed you sow, it comes to nothing if you don't call upon the name of the Lord. It is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. It is those, listen, I said seven names of God. Why did I pick that thing? Because there are different aspects to it. And what it means to call upon his name is to know what he is in that particular situation. And if you find out and you call that name, he will never disappoint. I told the story of the young man in prison. For all intents and purposes, like we say, he's innocent. His association has, they've tried their own. There's nothing they can do. He has spoken plenty English. Nothing. Even the policemen is no longer in their hands. The issue is now with the state judicial system. No longer in the hands of the police. So IG can't help him. The attorney general can't help him because the man will say that, listen, they will say I'm doing, you know, okay, he's already in court. Let it go through the process. Yeah. And you're on trial for how many months? Sorry, for how many years? But this is the interesting part. God works literally in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. If anybody in that kind of situation, you take your eyes away from the judicial system, take your eyes away from connections, take your eyes away from the political system, and the fellow kneels down and starts calling upon the name of the Lord. Not just say, God. No, it's God that demonstrates that the innocent is truly innocent. That's God's name. God's names are sentences. Oh. They are sentences. One of the names I learned that time, he said, I am God that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. A whole sentence. Whole sentence. There's no Greek or Hebrew word. It's a sentence. A sentence. So what do I do as a man? What do I do as a woman? That is the name. That is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. I was saying earlier that the problem God has when it comes to blessing us, I'm persuaded about it fully, is whether there is faith in our hearts. And one of the most powerful understandings I've had in recent times is the one we taught here a few weeks ago.
the meaning of the word faith again. What does it mean to believe? To believe now, this I described, does not mean to mentally agree. They say, what you are saying, I have agreed. No. It means to focus on that thing that was said, that you claim to agree concerning. To focus on it intently, expectantly, absorbing, with an absorbing, continual, unshaking, unwavering gaze. Like I said, when the doctor says, I want to treat this man's tuberculosis those days, he gives him 4 tablets to swallow, 4 different medicines, some of them, one of them, PAS, all right, used to be like 10 tablets at a go. And this man will swallow it for 18 months. 18. But he swallowed it steadily, absorbingly, constantly, with expectantly, expecting that at the end of 18 months, I should have been made whole. I have found out that that is the meaning of the word faith. That is what it means to believe. That is when I discovered the name of God. See, I told you, God says, I am God, there is none else. All kinds of things try to pretend like they are God. This is my certificate. See how they shine. First class. From a good university. This certificate is, you know, we don't realize it's trying to be God. Why? The first job I got, it was the certificate. I don't know what I get the point. God came that time, gave me a job using that certificate. I now think that to move higher in life, I need better certificates. God said, I am God, not a certificate. He said, don't make an image of certificates out of me. Hey, don't make an image of certificates out of me. Don't make an image of certificates out of me. You had connections. Don't make an image of connections out of me. No, 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 no. You're looking for prosperity, discover my name. What is my name? Say, you are the God that delights in the prosperity of your servants. That's the name. Look, it's not just Jehovah Jireh. I know it's Jehovah Jireh. Are we denying that fact? No. And listen, when Abraham said that thing, you must understand that Abraham was not trying to teach you anything. He was speaking what he knew and what he understood. What we call Jehovah Jireh now was a statement that Abraham made. When he said, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? So I see the sticks, I see everything. Isaac said, don't worry. The Lord will see. Literally, that's what it means. We now call it God will provide. What he meant, he said, God will see to it that everything is well provided. It was a statement he was making. So he now called the name of the Lord Jehovah Jireh. It was because God indeed provided. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That listen, the name of God is that which you can say confidently. It was a statement he made to his son. Don't worry about it. No, on Tuesday, no, we started teaching something. How to bless your descendants, your generations after you, your children. Please, don't miss those meetings. Because one of the things that God taught Aaron and Moses, were taught Aaron and his sons through Moses, was how to invoke the name of God upon them, upon the people of Israel. That's what you need, to invoke God's name. He said, you will say to them, you know, he said, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. Now, those things were not, he kept on repeating it, Jehovah bless you, because they were in a covenant relationship with God. So he was telling what Jehovah does for people who are in covenant relationship with him. He said, when you do this, you invoke my name upon them, and then I will bless them. You know what that means? It means that when you invoke God's name upon these people, they will go into their farms and weevil will not eat their crops. Oh, you know one of the problems of this earth? Too much scientific progress. Yes. People have so much faith in science. God is now shouting again. And he said, I should tell everybody, I am God and not the advancement in medicine. Are you hearing my point? That is the cry of God for now. I am God, not residency in a foreign country. Like I keep on saying, in fact, one of our dear friends called me today
like, you know, the number was surprising. I thought the fellow was in Lagos. Oh, no, I'm in the U.S. What are you doing there? I'm about to deliver. So I just, you know, of course, I said, so what are you doing in America? I said, I wanted to know. He said, no. It's just that all my relatives are here and it's more convenient for me. You are sure? He said, yes. I said, God bless you. You are free. You are free. That is, my point was that, listen, my dear sister, I don't want to hear that. In fact, she won't even, you know, the people know you very well. She knows me very well. You won't say that, you know, you give the children a future. I will appreciate a 1 hour message on the phone. That thus says the Lord, I am God that secures the future of your children. That's the name of God. And there are many scriptures from which I decoded that name. God said to them, you will not bring forth children for calamity. Are you getting my point? He said, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. So what is the name of God? The God that makes my seed mighty on the earth. So anytime my children are passing, I call them, you come here. In fact, they are used to it. If Benga is passing, I say, Benga, come. He just comes and does like this. Because a lot of times, maybe I'm sitting down, I'm lying down. I say, Benga, come. As he comes, you know, he perceives the mood. He just bend his head. And I put a hand on it. In the name of Jesus, shall be well with you. You will be great. As your name is Daniel, so will your spirit be. You have the spirit. Are you getting my point? That's future. That if you know how many millions of dollars I'm laying up for him in heaven like that. All kinds of angels are taking up command in posts around him. Touch this boy, I destroy somebody. That's it. It's called invoking the... Are you getting my point? Listen, to know the name of God is not just to have some letters you can recite. It's to understand the position it holds in every part of your life. That is what it means to know the name of God. That's what it means. And listen to me. Let me close. If you know the name of God, you will never be disappointed. His names are infinite. They are not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We say 7 names of God as to mean the infinite number of names. The perfect name of God. The totality of God's character. That is, as you get into a particular situation, you discover God in that situation and you give him a name. And when the Bible says those men called upon the name of God, go and check it. It was always when he delivered them from a kind of trouble. That was when they would build an altar. After powerful men took Abraham's wife. Do you understand? Powerful men. And God delivered the woman. The man built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, thereby giving glory to that God. God, my deliverer. Are you getting my point? That's why God said, don't build an image. Because you have not seen anything yet. Did you hear what I said? You have not seen anything yet. Amen. You haven't seen anything yet. Amen. The method with which I blessed you yesterday, don't worry, I won't use it tomorrow. I'm coming another method. Are you getting my point? The kind of blessing I want to give you this time, those who helped you yesterday, they can't carry it. They can't carry it. So don't fix your gaze on them. Forget them for a moment. Just call upon the name of the Lord. Are looking for a breakthrough? You know whose name. You know that, you know who to call. You know who to call. You don't have money. There's a, God. Look, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a simple name. I don't think they are not two sentences. One simple name. The God who is my shepherd so much that I will never lack anything. You should print your. In fact, I think you should go to an ATM. Put in. You know, when you enter your ATM machine, what do you want to do? Withdraw balance. Tell it in balance. When you want to show you 2 naira 65 cover. Very good. Go to an ATM where nobody's queuing up behind you. In fact, let them queue behind you. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my father and your lady. Doesn't matter. Let them queue behind you. Say, guys, please, I want to do something. What are you doing? I want to talk. This machine and I will have a discussion. Okay, you don't want to go to ATM. Log on online. Open your account balance. When you see them, begin discussion. Let me tell you accounts. I want to do something to you. I want to invoke the name of God upon you. This is the God that causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. His glory is upon you in the name of Jesus. This thing is not coming in trickles. It's coming like an overflowing stream. That's coming upon the name of the Lord. Listen, let me say this as I close. There are a few people here that God said, delete some numbers. That's the reason why I've not been able to help you. It looks so close. If this man would just pick my call and connect me instantly. Because that is the problem. You see, that is a problem. That is a problem. You are calling that man father. Are you getting my point? That's where we began from. You are calling him father. You are calling him my name. The name that you should be calling me, you are calling somebody. Wait, you've been waiting like this for 2 years. They have not picked that call. You know the step of faith? Scroll to that fellow's number. Delete it. Delete the number so that you will not be led into temptation. Delete the number. You hear what I said? Delete the second fellow's number. Delete both numbers. I don't need you. Delete these numbers. Tell them. They are deleting it. This is a sign. Right now, from now, I call upon the name of the Lord alone. He is the God that delights in the prosperity of his servants. He is my father. He delights in my prosperity. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things and I abound to every good work. You will see progress faster than when you were, you know, one of my guys does this. He used all his salary to buy postage stamps. Anyway, let me not go there. You know, Nigeria has changed. Life has changed, not even Nigeria. Now, when you want to apply, you apply online. Those days, you have to post every application. He confessed to me, he said, oh boy, his whole salary was used to buy postage stamps. He posted applications all over the world. Of course, nothing happened. Nothing. Nope. No breakthrough. Nothing. Let me repeat this story again and I close with it. Ron Kenoly. That was how he also posted applications all over the place. Demo tips. Demo tips. Everybody replied him, we are not interested in new artists at this point. And one day he got frustrated. It's a kind of frustration that God will send into your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Frustration that is in the area that you have been using the arm of flesh so that his glory might be manifested. Please attain that frustration quickly. You understand? Quickly get tired. He was frustrated. He entered the place one day and said, God, you are the one that called me. You anointed me. You gifted me. If they won't listen to me, you will listen to me. You can't go anywhere. You must listen to me. He brought out his, he sat on the piano and began to play. He said he played and worshipped until he fell down from there, laid on the floor, worshipped. Oh, let me use to this expression. And he called upon the name of the Most High God. He said, I am not sending any letter. I'm not sending any demo tape to anybody again. And he left it. And he focused on his job as a music director, what they call music pastor in the church. Every Sunday, he lead the choir, took care of the choir, taught them everything. And then one day, one of the executive directors of Hosanna Music came into church and sat down. I heard this man minister in songs. And they walked up to him after service. He said, I just want you to pray about recording an album with us. Listen, he recorded 2 albums. The first one, Jesus is Alive. The second one, Lift Him Up. I'm sure you know Lift Him Up. Who is alive today that does not know Lift Him Up? Unbelievers were singing Lift Him Up. The music sold and sold and sold. By the time he came to Nigeria where he was telling this story, it had just been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced. That dog came after he said, I am not writing anybody again. As long as you are calling somebody else father, the Heavenly Father cannot manifest. That's the point we are making. You have to make up your mind from today. Let's bow down our heads to pray. And say, Lord, I am not calling anybody else again. Only you are my father. Only you are my father. Only you are my source. Only you are my source of life. That's the meaning of the name of God. I like the way Paul called his name in the midst of trouble. He said, God, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That was the name of God. God doesn't have any long, convoluted name now. Any name you are using that does not have meaning to you, you are making a terrible mistake. You are making a terrible mistake. Say, Lord, my hope is in you alone. My hope is in you alone. It's not in a doctor. It's not in a chat somewhere. We read too many of these scientific things that remove faith from us. Those things are replacing God in our lives. That's the problem. He said, Lord, I remove my eyes away from all those things. I put my eyes on you alone. I put my eyes on you alone. I put my eyes on you alone. You are the God that makes me prosper. That is the name of God. That is the name of God. It's the name of God. The God that delights in the prosperity of me, his servant. He said, don't call anybody father. He said, Lord, I call you father. Only you I call father. Only you I call father. You are the supply of all my needs. You are. You are. You are the one that makes me fruitful. You are. That is the name. That I wake up in the morning and declare the name over every part of my body, over my business. I put my hand on that business. On my business, maybe your business name, the checkbook of your company. Hold it. The God that opens doors that no man can shut. That's a name. That is a name. God's names are sentences. The God that delivers his people from all trouble. The God who encamps around his people and delivers them. Those are the names of God. Not one Greek word or Hebrew name. The word, you don't know the meaning. If those Greek Hebrew words make meaning to you, fine. But I strongly doubt that they will. If you don't speak that language normally, I strongly doubt that they will make any meaning like that. If that's not the language you speak normally, no, I strongly doubt. Speak, call God by the name that he bears because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Because of, you know, when you say Father, Father, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thing has a wealth of meaning. It means all his promises. He's the God of those promises. He said, I watch over my word to perform them. That is, God that watches over his word. This is the word. So you call him God that is watching over the word of fruitfulness. That says to me, I will be fruitful in my husband's house. That God that said to me, my children will be around my table. The God of that word. The God that watches over that word to fulfill it. Call him by that name every day. And you will see that he will not disappoint you. What God is looking for is faith in our hearts. So let's look, focus on that word, on his name, expectantly, with an absorbing gaze, steadily, without wavering. Declare again, say, Lord, this is what I have chosen to do. This is my commitment. I believe you. I focus on that word. My eyes are on it all the time.